Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like the minds of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, big business moves that could affect small businesses, even how to get started on your own. Today's topics: how cybersecurity firms can make their tech talk simpler for clients to understand, potentially leading to more sales, and the latest trends on the job scene. We'll start with this. Information security leaders are hired to keep hackers from stealing a company's data. But before they can do that, they face another challenge: getting their message across. Now they're moving into the C-suite, briefing boards and the public on high-stakes breaches. A big part of the strategy: making cybersecurity easier to understand. MarketWatch reporter Priya Anand says they're dropping the nerd talk, something not so easy for people with techie backgrounds. Priya, what's happening here?
So people who work in cybersecurity and really technical fields like this, part of the problem for them right now is that their work is becoming so much more prominent as large companies like Target, Sony, et cetera, all get hacked, and everyone's looking for a chief information security officer to run their security operations. The problem that these people are running into, though, is that they were normally, you know, just working with their IT staff and security vendors and things like that, and now they're having to do things like present to the board or talk to the public or give comments to reporters. And so what they're finding challenging is this whole idea of translating their work and having people actually understand what they're saying. When you have 5 minutes in front of a boardroom, a corporate board, to tell people, hey, this hack happened at a competitor, here's what we need to do to make sure it doesn't happen here, you want to make sure you're actually saying things people actually understand and you're getting out of the jargon. So there's a course now at Carnegie Mellon that's trying to help people do that.
Interesting. All right, so what are they teaching then?
Yeah, it's a communications course. It's part of this whole Chief Information Security Officer program that they've developed to give people in security basically more ability to talk business strategy, right, and do that business speak that everyone does in a corporate boardroom and use their kinds of terms instead of using really technical terms that people might not understand. And it sounds really silly to say, you know, don't assume anyone knows anything, but people in the security world often do assume that, even readers, we assume in journalism that people know what, you know, like malware is, for example. But if you ask a lot of people to define, a lot of people who don't work in this space, can you define what malware is? They're kind of like, look at you and be like, well, so I know what it is when I read about it, but I'm not really sure how I'd even describe it. So one of the things they're teaching these people is, look, break it down from the basics when you get to a boardroom.
But can you still do that in, say, your five-minute pitch you've got to make?
That's their challenge. They have to break down all the basics in a five-minute pitch and also explain why something they want to fund should get more funding. It's really rough in the security field when you're sometimes trying to make a pitch for more funding, because if you haven't been hacked already, part of the assumption is like, oh, but we're doing fine right now, so why do we need more money to secure this thing when you said, like, you know, our security is fine right now. There's no real threat at hand sometimes. It doesn't seem like the threat is tangible sometimes, so it's very hard to make a convincing argument in certain cases, which is why it's important to actually be understandable, too.
Thanks, Priya. MarketWatch reporter Priya Anand. Coming up next, what's trending on the job scene? Is it easier or harder to find workers right now? The new high-performance Dell Latitude systems are the most secure, manageable, and reliable business-class laptops and two-in-ones so employees can do their best work. Outfitted with the latest Intel Core processors, your team can reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times the performance. Make your work beautiful again at Dell.com/radio. Again, Dell.com/radio. U.S. employers picked up the pace of hiring in February, but not everyone is cheering about the kinds of jobs that were created. The Labor Department says 242,000 jobs were added last month, and the unemployment rate, as the government calculates it, held steady at 4.9%. What's this mean for hiring in the weeks ahead and interest rates? Here's Pat O'Keefe, Director of Economic Research at Cohn Resnick, a professional business service firm in northern New Jersey. Pat, put the numbers in perspective.
Longer term, we are on the heels of the two best years in terms of jobs growth since 1999. So 14 and 15 were very, very good years. And this year is starting off, after 2 months, to be the third year in a row in which we outstrip the rest of this century. So long-term perspective, when we look at where monetary policy is, where fiscal policy is, the economy is in good stride. This is not a runaway surge, but rather a solid performance on the part of the employers around the country.
So where was the hiring in February? Any industries that jump out?
The amount of jobs growth was highly concentrated in February. 85% of all the employment occurred in just four or five areas: education, health, retail, government, and leisure and hospitality were the five sectors where 85% of the jobs growth occurred. Similarly, the month-on-month acceleration was highly concentrated. So the overall numbers are very good. The distribution of growth is not as diffuse as we might like, but sometimes you just can't have everything.
We're speaking with Pat O'Keefe. He's the director of economic research at Cohn Resnick in northern New Jersey. So those five sectors with 85% of growth, leisure and hospitality, you mentioned education, government. Is that good? Are we excited about that? Or do we need more manufacturing and construction, jobs like that?
Well, government is good because government employment is still well below where it was pre-recession. Construction did kick up this particular month. But on the other hand, manufacturing and the extraction industries, oil, coal, both had setbacks. So it's good that we're getting the growth where we're getting it. It's disappointing that in some sectors, and manufacturing is a good example of it, that we're not getting the growth because of other problems. The reason manufacturing is lagging in the United States is because our dollar is much more valuable relative to other currencies. And so the goods that we're producing are not as competitive on the global stage as would be necessary to jump up the employment numbers.
Thanks, Pat. It's Pat O'Keefe, Director of Economic Research at Cohn Resnick. Reminder, by the way, you can get more small business reports on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com. And we encourage you, too, to leave feedback on whatever podcast platform you use, whether it's, say, iTunes or SoundCloud. Also, if you'd like to share thoughts or ideas about your small business, send me an email, gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. I've enjoyed receiving the emails. We're going to feature some small businesses on these podcasts very soon. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.